sitting at the front, I'm looking at the clock at the back, and maybe you are looking at your wristwatches. Well, be assured, I'm not going to speak for very long this afternoon. But I do want to begin what I have to say to you by reading a few verses from a very familiar passage from Revelation chapter 21. And I have a devious reason for reading this apart from its appropriateness this afternoon. So follow it closely because I've got a question for you. Revelation 21 and the first five verses. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I'm making everything new. Then he said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Here's my question. What is the first description that was given to John about heaven? Think about it. The very first verse of that reading says there was no longer any sea. Doesn't that seem strange? Heaven is up there. Who would have thought of sea being up there, where Jesus went, where we are going? Who would have thought of it? God and his people dwelling together, we think of it. Those famous words, no more tears, no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain, for the old order of things has passed away. But before that, John was told there will be no more sea. Now for us, a day at the seaside is a pleasurable thing. It's an idyllic thing for us to think of boats bobbing up on the sea on a glorious summer day. It may bring back to us childhood memories. Some of us, the only time that we went to the sea was on a Sunday school outing. Not many cars in those days, so we hired the coaches and off we would go. I can remember 4, 5, 6 coaches going from Shrewsbury to the North Wales coast, full of children, excited, happy, wonderful days out. So why is this the first statement about heaven? Why is it there? We must understand that the sea in the first century wasn't like that at all. To Jewish people, the sea would be something of an object of terror and fear. It was awesome in its power. It was vast in its extent, and nothing could master the sea. It could never be tamed. There were no compasses to guide people in those days. Ocean-going sailing vessels were fragile, and few of them would ever move far from the shore. There were sandbanks, there were rocks, there were headlands, there were strong currents. There were no charts to direct them through the dangerous waters. No lighthouses to point the way. And the dangers for anyone going out on a boat was very risky indeed. The waves would roar, the sea was troubled. That's the picture that we have of the sea in the scriptures. And then we must remember where John was when God spoke to him. He was on an island, the island of Patmos, where he would look all the time at the sea. It represented for him separation. Separation from loved ones. Separation from his family. Separation from the church. So to him personally, this was a great message. There will be no longer any sea. The sea represents trouble and anxiety. But that's all going to end one day. And it's already ended for Joan in this life that is to come. So just a few little points to make from that this afternoon. And the first one is this, that there is no more separation. We could regard the sea as the sea linking up all the countries, all the nations. We could think of travel and cruises and commerce and holidays. But that's not the picture that we have here. The sea was a barrier to all that were far away. That's our experience today. There's a separation between us and Joan. She has sailed away. She has gone beyond the horizon. We can't see her anymore. And death is like that. There's a great divide that separates us, and it's real, and it's tangible. God says that in the future there'll be no divide, no separation, no sadness, because there'll be no more death to bear our loved ones far away. So for Christian believers, there is this sure and certain hope of being united with the Lord and being with him forever. Joan joins many, many Christian friends who've gone before her. And one day George is going to join her. Not in a sentimental way, but because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're a Christian here today, you can look forward to that day too. Here's the message of sure and certain hope. No more separation, because there'll be no more sea. Secondly, there'll be no more dangers. The sea is a vast ocean of unrest and turmoil and raging conflicts. And there's that constant threat of shipwreck. For those whose loved ones go off to sea, there's always that constant concern of watching and waiting. Life on the sea is perilous, dangerous, difficult. In heaven it's not going to be like that anymore, praise God, because there'll be no more sea. There'll be nothing to bring us down there. There'll be nothing in any way, shape or form that will be able to threaten us or cause us unrest, or leave us in turmoil, or cause us trouble. There'll be no temptations there, so no one is going to fall away. There will be unending peace and goodness forever. God's people will be resting, rejoicing. They'll be in absolute safety, as we've heard sung this afternoon, safe in the arms of Jesus. They'll experience the peace of God forever, because there'll be no more sea. And that's Joan's experience this afternoon. She's where she wanted to be. All the troubles, all the commotion of life have passed away. No more ups and downs, no more stresses, no more strains. for Joan, because there's no more sea. Thirdly, there'll be no more change. Whenever you look at the sea, it's constantly changing. Summer and winter, it's always moving, always different, always varying. In summer it can be nice and calm, in winter it can be absolutely raging. It's always a mass of change. It's change. The waves are striking the rocks endlessly. They heave and toss the vessels that travel on it. It's never still. And change, although it's necessary, is a troublesome thing. It's constant. Often we find that we can't cope with change. We can't keep pace with it. And as the years roll on, the more difficult I find it to accept change. Fashion changes, technology changes, the world we live in is constantly changing. The scripture says, here we have no continuing city. We long for stability, for something to keep and something unchangeable. Down here, changes just keep rolling in on us, one after the other. That's life. But as Christians, we can look forward to that coming to an end. Here it is. The day is coming when things will be constant. And we won't get bored. There'll be no more sea. No longer will things go up and down, backwards and forwards. The troublesome things of life and the changes we face will all come to an end. Jesus says, lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. There you can look forward with Joan to that sea of calm, of rest, of stability, and of God's heavenly reign. And finally, no more conflicts. When we look out at the storm of sea, they're frightening. There can be lightning, raging winds, horrendous conditions. As a non-swimmer, it terrifies me to even think about it. Ships battling against the elements as they have to cut their way through the oceans. Joan's life was a bit like that, especially this last year or so. A constant battle. And they are for most of us as well. Personally, in our family lives, in our church lives, in our working life, in our society, in our world. A constant battle to maintain standards, to keep values, and to hold on to the things of God. While we're here in the world, we face struggles against the world, the flesh, and the devil. There's the constant assault of the enemy. And this is intensified when we identify, as Joan did, with the Lord Jesus Christ and seek to walk in his footsteps. The enemy wants to destroy us, to conquer us, to defeat us. It can get us down. It can make us feel weary. And we sometimes wonder, when is it all going to end? But it will, because there will be no more sin. There is hope. So it's my prayer this afternoon that each one of us will be strong and will be patient like Joan. Soon all those conflicts are going to be past. Let's lift up our eyes to the Lord. There's an old song that the word said, with Christ in the vessel, we can smile at the storm. We're going home to peace. That's our hope. And to those who do not have this hope this afternoon, Those who don't love the Lord Jesus Christ like Joan did, there's no such hope. Your life will be all at sea. You'll be exposed to all the things that I've just mentioned, to the storms, to the danger, to the separation, to the conflict. There'll be no peace. So may God grant that we'll be like Joan and put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we can look forward to that heavenly Jerusalem where there'll be no more sea, no separation, no dangers, no more changes, and no more conflict.
just remain standing while I give this blessing. So may the peace of God, which is beyond understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Amen. I believe there are refreshments available fairly soon afterwards, so the family would invite you to stay if you're able. Thank you.